Welcome to the Grow Your Business podcast. Listen in as we discuss all things business, growth, and marketing with business owners, thought leaders, and entrepreneurs. And now, here's your host, founder of Roundhouse, the creative agency, Saul Edmonds.
Oh, hey, everyone. Welcome to the Grow Your Business podcast yet again. Today, I happen by chance to be talking to Angela De Palma. Angela, how are you?
Hello, Saul. I'm excellent. I'm wonderful.
I just got on the computer and you were here. It's amazing.
No, it's amazing what reminders do, isn't it? Like the reminders.
Yeah, they are kind of handy. I hate to say it, but I don't think, I mean, I could probably, in retrospect, if we obviously really had to, if we didn't have reminders, we'd work it out because we obviously used to years ago. And people didn't have reminders telling them things to do, and they seem to exist just fine. So I'm sure we'd work it out, but they are handy. Yes, case in point. Exactly. So thank you so much for being on the podcast today. We've got some cool stuff to talk about, I think, about personal branding and the importance of it and everything else. So for people who don't, always at the start of every podcast, just to so people have a bit of a snapshot of generally who you are. And for people who don't know you, they'll be like, I'm sure a bunch of people who do, they'll be like, ah, I know what it's going to be all about. But like for those who don't, could you give people listening just a bit of a overview of who you are and what you get up to?
Absolutely. So I am Angela De Palma, as Saul introduced me, and I've been in small business all my career. So that's like over two decades now. And I was very passionate about business. I was one of those people that didn't know what I wanted to do. And I was sort of, you know, I got married quite young and I got pregnant as well quite young. And well, in the terms of today, quite young. Mm. And my ex-husband always wanted to work for himself and run a business. And it was in 1995 when the World Wide Web was just starting. So he was a very early adopter of HTML. For one of the original companies in Brisbane that were also a national company in HTML. And there was a business coach that did joint ventures, and he linked up with my ex, and I was really heavily pregnant, and he would get us into his, you know, boardroom on a Saturday morning, and he'd like, you know, map out all these strategies around business and, you know, the planning. And he really like taught me about business, like the very first person. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I just fell in love with business. That was like, you know, years and years ago. And since then, I've always been in small business, and I was a husband and wife team. So I got involved in the web design business that we used to have back in the day and called Alive Online. And we used to do web design, hosting, domain names. We were sort of early adopters of software as a service, you know, like shopping cart software and all that thing. So I've been around business my entire career, and I love everything to do with freedom, and in some ways that's what business represented to me. And so I've done lots of different things, so I've pivoted quite a lot, and so I've set up lots of brands, I've set up lots of businesses. I used to do outsourcing to the Philippines, like I was an early adopter of that in 2011. I'd go along to BNI and no one knew what it was. It just went over everyone's head. And, so I actually didn't do well in 2011 without it was too early.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, that's a really interesting point, isn't it? Because it's funny when you go, because we were talking about this just before we came on air about like, oh, isn't it funny that it still feels like, you know, somewhere, to me anyway, like sort of 2010s or whatever. And then I always catch myself going, oh, it's 2024. And then when you go, yeah, things like that, which is actually 13-ish years ago, 13, 14 years ago, things a lot of things have then all of a sudden in that time, which is a reasonable amount of time, become like fairly acceptable and fairly mainstream, right? Like
mainstream. That's right. So outsourcing obviously became mainstream, and I did that. I used to recruit virtual assistants from the Philippines for people, and there's a thread, because what I do now is I'm a personal brand consultant, just to fast forward, and I help my clients with niching, messaging, and building your personal brand and digital footprint. Mm. But essentially, I'm also a business coach. So I transitioned my career at the end of 2017 into coaching, and I've been really coaching ever since. But I've got obviously strong knowledge around business outsourcing and branding, because I pivoted a lot during my career as well. And although I loved, and the thread that runs through my career is my value of freedom. Freedom is one of my highest values, and so is leverage. And I think why I fell in love with business back when I was pregnant, and my daughter's 28 now and about to have a baby, it was because I saw the light bulb went on, the leverage and the creativity of business, and how creative it is, and marketing is just storytelling at the end of the day. And because I pivoted my services, because my other highest value is fulfillment, and although, so I sort of transitioned through lots of different, I guess, iterations of business and specializations in business. So I sort of niched myself in these horizontal niches, like outsourcing. And now I've niched myself into personal branding as a horizontal niche, which is obviously relevant across many different verticals. And so, yeah, so my career history has evolved and my love for branding grew.
Yeah, it's really interesting hearing you talk about, because we've had a bunch of conversations previously, but like one of the really fun things that I get to sort of do on the podcast is then hear people talk differently, like even people that often heaps of people, or I'm not sure if it's heaps anymore, but still there's a lot of people that come on the podcast I've met personally, and they're not like other people I meet for the first time, and you go, oh yeah, you sort of know them pretty well, but then people talk about things differently when you're on the podcast, like when you're asked to explain things in this linear sort of way. And hearing you talk about it makes me realize straight away, like just in that sort of snapshot, it's like, oh, Angela's actually really, she's, you know, one, had a whole bunch of things that she's done, but then you've quite, and for me as a listener, you have a lot of quite clear thought around things in retrospect, is that you've gone, it's gone from here to here to here to here, and you sort of explain it in a very clear, easy to understand sort of way, which to me like sounds like you've obviously, you know, like I guess we all do to some extent, you reflect on things and you go, like, how does it now fit into stuff?
Yes, that's right. And what's the narrative? Because in the person, when I help people build their personal brand, this is what we're looking for. We're looking for a thread. We're looking for a thread that runs right back into their, you know, right back into their passion, you know, like what got you into this. And I think that I had this incredible passion for marketing, but I didn't. I see, because I'm self-taught in everything I do. So I'm a true entrepreneur in the sense that I'd like to learn on the job. I believe that applying knowledge is really the best way to gain proficiency. And so when I started coaching, I did the same thing. I started coaching for free. I transitioned my identity again. So I'm a real expert in
a true chameleon.
Well,
oh, yes, like in
but there's still the thread. There's still that common thread that runs through the whole story. And so branding is about finding that thread and telling that story as part of your personal brand, because it's always connecting the dots if and when you pivot.
Is that also, would you say to some extent that's also realizing what some repeating patterns are too? Like it's sort of reflecting on things and going, because one of the things that I feel like I'm like reasonably good at, and this is probably from a design sense more than anything, because it has an application in doing visual things, is seeing repeating patterns in things and finding, you know, like, well, either their value, like they've got different purposes. Like if from a visual point of view, it can be going, oh, I can use that shape or this like repeating sort of use of color across things, and that applies to like the visual application of branding. But I guess could you just like speak to, since we're on that sort of subject, talk about how that idea, you know, things that you talking to people about, and how that actually works in terms of helping some of the people that you talk to, like, yes, actually going, okay, what's this, like,
yes,
it's this little repeating thing that we can
absolutely
hook onto.
That's it. And that's, so like, for example, I've just started helping a woman who wants to set up her own practice as a counsellor. And she has, but she's, one of her niches is equine therapy.
Oh, really? Wow.
So working, helping people, well, women, she wants to work with survivors of domestic violence mainly, but she wants to bring in the horse and the equine. And she's also come from a very, you know, her professional career has involved working with child services. She's a social worker by training. She's done a lot of research. She's done a lot of different eclectic things in her career. And so when we were having our initial sort of kickoff session, I was asking her to tell me about the horses. Tell me about your passion for the horses and what they represent. And so then she went right back to her childhood. Because in her childhood, her aunt, she had a beloved aunt that used to look after her and her sister during the school holidays. And every time they went to the aunt who lived in the country, they always did riding. They always did. They went to the you know, the stables, and she went to riding school. And so it's really associated with something quite deep for her around her sort of trust in horses and her trust in building that relationship, and how the healing impact of that, and how, you know, the horse teaches you something about yourself. And yeah. I, you know, I'm not a horse person, but I'd love to go and have a session with her. I will. Well, do you know what I mean? So there.
Yeah.
So what is this story? And then recently, my friend that's in business, and she's a leadership coach, and we go to the gym together once a week. She was telling me, so leadership, she's obviously a leadership coach and passionate about all things leadership. And so in helping her build her brand, she told me off, like coincidentally, that when she was a kid, she was really passionate about horses as well. And she used to do horse riding, and that from 8 to 18, so for 10 years, that was like an enormous part of her life, and that the relationship, like the analogies between the relation, like leading a horse and leadership. So there's all these threads. So there's this,
wow, that's really interesting.
This passion. And so because passion sells and passion is contagious. And so obviously, you know, this all, like branding is about connecting emotionally with your target audience. And so I'm looking for these stories that go back, where the thread is, that you can create a story around the link and the thread for why someone does what they do, and bring in the emotion of that.
I think it's a very powerful tool, and especially like, say, I think we've discussed this too in the past. It's like where, say, what we do as a agency, where someone comes and go, I want this visual brand, and they're very focused on that, and we end up talking about other things that we're discussing too. But I often find the real power of, say, somebody, an organization or and or individual working with someone like yourself, is because the discussions about that end up being one, for different reasons, and often because the focus is different, it's not on, oh, plus at the same time, we have to work out how to translate this into various visuals, which isn't necessarily a easy task, like for many people. It's very hard for people to visualize. And I mean, like, it's hard. It can be quite complicated. So to have that with someone like yourself first for different reasons, when it can, you know, it's often linked with their business processes, with, you know, personal growth, and a whole range of other things. It can be sometimes easier in, like, to go. And then with, you know, that, what you were talking about before with the equine therapy and different, that's an interesting point for me too. As you were talking about, I was thinking, well, those people like herself who obviously have many years worth of trust working with animals outside of the fact that works for other people, it's so powerful because they already know. They already have this years worth of experience of just knowing that works. And sure, they could go, they will be able to probably articulate that, but the act of it working is in the doing of it. Like, it's the actual action of it, which you sort of touched on before too, is like being entrepreneurial of doing things. Like, I've often analyzed this too in little moments of reflection throughout the years when I've gone, oh yeah, what sort of, it's usually when people ask, they go, oh, what sort of learning style are you? And I go, oh, learning style am I? And I'm certainly of the same bent with a little twist. Like, I'm always prefer generally, first of all, just to dive in and just like sometimes break stuff. But then what I'll generally do is go, yeah, and then look at, you know, evidence or information as required. I'll get then go, oh, okay, I've reached the point where there's a bit of a brick wall and I have to like look at something, and then I'll go back and just try it myself again and then go back a little bit. That's I'm sure there's probably like a proper
and the thing is, I love learning. Yeah, like I absolutely love learning. But I've got my own way of learning, and I listen to a lot of, you know, I love listening. I'm a good auditory, and I listen to lots and lots of books. Like, during COVID, I took a break from my own business and I went and worked at the Australian Institute of Professional Counsellors.
Right.
And I got the job as a career coach, and it was a brand new role that they were setting up, and the person had to create all the training, and then they had to roll out the group and one-on-one coaching with the graduates of the Diploma of Counselling. Now, I wasn't a career coach at all. I'd never really done career coaching, but on the strength of my personal brand and on the strength of one testimonial that I'd worked with a woman helping her with interview skills in my first sort of 2 years of coaching, and I got the job out of 47 applicants. But then before I got there, then I really did a deep dive into a lot of things around coaching that I hadn't really, you know, dived into yet. And so I did my own continuous learning. So I'm a lifelong learner. Like, that's my, but as you said, it was like extremely relevant. And so I was going into a registered training organization that actually taught the Diploma of Life Coaching, and they were looking for someone with a life coaching or a coaching qualification, which I didn't have.
I think it's like one of those really intrinsic sort of truths. And this is speaking from, I guess, just doing it myself too, is like the best, like they say, heaps of people that, the best way to learn is to teach, you know, is to actually teach, because you're putting yourself often in, it's sort of off the back of what you were saying, is you may not have had the qualifications, but that's a pretty fluid term too, because when you break it down to what that might actually mean in terms of its application, you know, you're going to put this together, or you're going to be able to show people things, that comes down to kind of a few things, obviously some level of skill, some level of knowledge, but then also willingness and also passion and like a bunch of other stuff, which, you know, if there's a great, you know, sort of incentive there to do well when you have to teach it, because like there's a sort of part of your ego that's like, I don't want to mess up. And there's a part, and there's like, well, in order to teach it, I have to know. So therefore I have to learn usually more rapidly and better, because, and then your mind is like, well, I have to be, I'm a teacher now. So therefore I have to generally, that's that implied thing of, I have to know more than the people I'm teaching. Right. And then, I mean, you don't know. And then sometimes there's going to be a person who will like, you know, there's, that's also pretty, you know, fluid too, because you come across people who are like, ah, I already know that. Oh, well, okay, fine. You know, and then you just move on and have, but like, but that's the interesting thing about it. And I mean, a lifelong learning is like, I mean, you and I know it's like one of the key tenets of a few, or it seems to be like a common thread across, I mean, some of the really good networking groups that are around, that have been around for years and that are around, that's like a key thing, and it's for a reason, because it's part, like it's a really important part of the entrepreneurial journey, really, isn't it? Like just
absolutely, and that
wanting to learn and
definitely
really loving it.
We're forced to, but you know, look, I mean, look at the rapid changes that are going on. Like we're absolutely forced to keep learning, and so if you don't have that desire or interest and passion, it's always going to be difficult, basically. But when, just getting back to the when I got that job, I spent 9 weeks putting the training together, and most of that training was all personal branding.
Right.
That's when I got paid to actually, I mean, I'd already been doing my own, I was always really passionate about personal branding, and I was creating content, personal brand content for real estate agents. So in COVID, I pivoted. So there were two ways to go. One was either keep coaching and take that job, or I'd pivoted and set up a brand called Personal Brand Content for real estate agents. And then, you know, but so they paid me for 9 weeks, and I did this amazing deep dive into personal branding. And after I did that job, that's when I got a part-time job as a vocational coach. And then I built all my IP for what I do now.
Isn't that funny? What I really love is like those sort of, in a way, like happy accidents that sort of occur. It's sort of something that is just as a little sort of short history, like my wife and I, when we met at Queensland College of Art like years ago, we had this you know, instructor, a few instructors, and one of the like really, you know, important philosophies or sort of approaches there was like, you know, trying a bunch of different things very, very quickly and see what works, throw them out so you can, you know, sort of see what actually works. But specifically with the idea that when you do that, you put your mind into a different way of thinking, and these like happy accidents and weird things occur that you could never engineer if you were sitting down going, what's my strategy to have like something super creative? Because it doesn't really, I mean, it can also work like that in conjunction, you know.
I agree. But the
happy accident, and you're opening yourself up, and you could never probably have really known that you would do that, and then you would end up, you know, necessarily moving down a particular path or what specifically you would learn. But that's a great example of then it leading down a path that now in retrospect might sometimes almost seem inevitable. You know, it's like,
that's right. And the really interesting thing was, because at the end of the day, personal branding is marketing. So when I say, but marketing is very broad, so personal branding is more niched. And so exactly what you're saying, that they recommended to you in the art thing, that's how a great way to find your niche is that you work with you experiment. What you're essentially saying is it's you're conducting all these experiments.
Mm.
And often the best way to approach entrepreneurship when you're starting up, and it's just an experiment. Like you have an instinct.
Yeah.
Down a route, and you think, okay, well, I think I want to work with this sort of person. And then, you know, you sit back and you just see, well, did I enjoy that? Like that's happened to me many times where I've thought I'm going to niche in this. Like yeah. I set up a brand called Oz Legal Secretary a few years ago when I was doing contracting. This was ages ago. And then I picked up a client and I worked with him for 2 years, but I realized I only want him. I don't want anyone else.
Yeah, but at least then you had that realization, right? Like, I mean, that sounds like a bit of an off-the-cuff sort of comment, but it's actually really important because, you know, some people, I mean, I'm sure I fall into this boat with certain things. I can't think of an example right now, but times where you just keep on going along, you know, paddling the boat, and you don't have any realization along to whatever journey, when it would probably be in retrospect far more helpful if you had, if you'd gone, I'm paddling towards, you know, East Timor and I should be going towards, you know, the United States, you know, and you just keep paddling and you go like, oh, gee, it's getting really hot, you know, and, you know, but like you, those things are important. I mean, it doesn't, you know, it's not really, I don't think, reflective. Or like, I'm sure everybody does that, right? At some point, you just keep going because you're busy or you're this or that, or you just don't have someone in your corner to go, hey, like, what are you doing? Yeah, or maybe do this instead.
Yeah, or is this working for you? You know, because I reckon it's
asking questions, yeah.
Yeah, asking questions. And, you know, it is an accident. Like niches have found me, you know, like I've put stuff out there and the only people that came back once were guys. So right. Then I changed all my messaging just for guys.
Right, right.
Because that was the only one who came forward mainly was guys. They were the only ones attracted to my offer. It was a business accountability program that I created when I first started coaching, and then I ran ads and the only people responding were guys.
Interesting. So interesting. But then that's also a key, you know, key part and important, like super important information about marketing and realization is that marketing is this process of refinement of
test, measure and refine.
Yeah. Yeah. Of going, put some stuff out there. It's like what I was talking about before, like you do, and it can, I mean, it's not required always, but it's often helpful if it's sort of quick, you know, one, because you've only got so much time in the day when you're doing testing, you know, you don't want to spend all your time doing that. Then it becomes, you know, unproductive, but you put stuff out there, see if it works, then do it a bit more, see if it's still working. Then you finding out, I mean, you weren't unnecessarily didn't know that was going to be, you were going to get this response from all guys. And then it was like, oh, that's helpful information. Okay, I can go down that particular path. It's like, you know, going up a street in a city and finding your way, and you want to get to a restaurant and you have no idea. You might ask somebody and they're like, oh, it's up here. You smell a bit of food, you go down that way. You know, just sort of finding out more evidence, more information to ultimately make a educated judgment that's going to lead to whatever your goals are, I guess.
That's right. And the thing with personal branding is it starts with your goals. So it always starts with the person, like what do you want to achieve out of this, or what, you know, what do you want your business to be about? And obviously niching is a big part of personal branding because it's a conversation. And so who are you having the conversation with, which is marketing 101, you know? Your target audience. And so it's very, there's layers to the build. There's a whole personal component and a whole professional component And when people are starting out, they, you know, it's really fun. It's very exciting because you're always going to discover something about yourself that you didn't know.
So do you, like, say, do you have people who come to you and go, or not people who come to you, but you're having conversations and you go, I'm a personal branding person, and explain what you do. And then they go, oh, I don't think I would need, you know, personal branding for me because they've got a particular idea that it's for, I don't know, influencers or for celebrities or for someone who, or for someone whose business is them, you know, they're pop star or they have an idea of it. Is that a common thread?
All the time. Right. Like I recently met someone because I'm niching myself. I want to introduce a new niche into my business, which is working with athletes and working with teams in sport, because I recently did a personal brand job for a team of golf coaches.
Right.
So the founder has a very strong personal brand. His digital footprint's incredibly strong, but now his goals have changed for the business and they want to attract other golf coaches to work under their brand and use their methodology that they've developed over, you know, 30 years. It's like, so what, I've forgotten the question, but can you, that's right. So they come to me. That's right. So I went to Q Sport. I went to this, I paid $300 and I, you know, went to the conference to learn more about the sport industry. And at the conference, one of the speakers on the panel and I connected and I told him what I did and everything. And he was really interested in that because there's a part of his personal story that he hasn't disclosed or shared. And so he sort of does kind of want to pivot, but he's not sure how to incorporate that into his current image. And obviously he's got image. He's, you know, he's really a thought leader and he's got a very strong digital footprint. His company does. And so the conversation was all about, well, what would the strategy be? Like for me to sort of slowly pivot and move, incorporate more of, and that sort of side of him is something that he hasn't really shared about. So it's like becoming a whole person. And so we've had, you know, one coaching session and we've got a few more booked in where we're just going to, you know, nut out how, you know, what is the journey going to be for him around the pivot, a slight pivot, you know, where is he going to set up a completely new brand? Is he going to build his personal brand website? And he actually said to me, and this is interesting because he works in marketing, he's high profile in the sport niche. And he said, you know, can't I just run my brand off Instagram rather than, because I recommended that he build a personal brand website, which is what I actually recommend that people do. And he said, well, can't, you know, like, isn't that, like, he was sort of like, people get imposter syndrome around this. Like, and he's this successful guy. And I said to him, well, yeah, you could, but you don't own Instagram. Like I lost my LinkedIn profile that I'd been building for 11 years. LinkedIn took it down and I never got it back. And so I lost all those 6,000 connections that I had. And so that's the disadvantage of building it on Instagram is that you own Instagram and something could happen. And essentially what we're doing is we want to obviously, you know, marketing 101 is build our own database and own our own.
Yeah, try and little... sort of real estate. Yeah, that's what I always say to people too.
Exactly. So that's sort of an example of where someone high profile that's sort of in the industry doesn't, you know, thinks that that's a bit wanky to build your own personal brand website when he's actually the perfect type of person to do it.
Is that, do you think there's a part of that that is more common in Australia just because of how?
The tall poppy syndrome, probably.
Yeah, Australians are like, it's a bit of a wank, you know, but it's an interesting because a little bit like, I feel like, not exactly for the same reasons, but now things go through trends like we were talking about before with, offshoring, things become more popular and more acceptable. I feel like there's a, there's a sort of a bit of a sea change with people's perception about personal branding too. Yep. I hear you get certain, it's probably from some of the maybe be a little bit of an illusion because of some of the circles you and I are in, because everyone's already across it anyway, you know, so maybe that's sort of an illusion. But I feel like, you know, I talk to other people and people aren't like, what? They don't go, what are you talking about? You know, they're like, oh, yeah, you know, and I think part of that is also my theory around all this is that it's because of people's exposure generally to, like, vastly more content than they've ever been exposed to. And if they're in business, then they're looking, you know, at other content anyway, and then they're on LinkedIn and they're reading and learning just by kind of osmosis, just absorbing it without even realizing they're learning about branding, and then they're going personal brand, and then they've got a friend or a mate who did it and they're like, oh, actually it's not so bad, and that's, I can see the value. And so I think that's more, but say, like, where does what would you say to somebody if they were going to, you know, ask this question, if they go, what's the difference between organizational personal brand and your personal brand? Is there a difference? Because this is where, you know, it's like when people often ask me, or they go, oh, branding, is this right? No, not really. It's actually much bigger. It's like these terms can sometimes be confusing for people. So what would you say to them?
Yes. So I would say that because branding is three things, it's the visual, the verbal, and the value. It's your positioning, where you fit relative to your competition, where you fit, you know, in the marketplace. Mm. And so people in the past have associated branding with the visual mainly, but then obviously if you really build the brand, you're building an identity in a corporation. So corporations have built their brands. They've got, you know, their vision statement, their mission statement, which is all part of a personal brand build. They've got their values, especially in the not-for-profit sector. This is extremely, you know, important, and all not-for-profits do a lot of work on this. But then what they are not doing is leveraging the personal brands of their employees to actually help, you know, increase their reach. Mm. So there's a whole strategy around personal, aligning the personal brand of the employee with the company values, vision, and mission, and, you know, encouraging employees to actually tell the story of why they are passionate about what they do and why they've chosen to work with this company. You know, like now, this not-for-profit, because these days that, you know, it's not an employer's market anymore. It's an employee's market. And so all the employers are competing for people. And so how you compete is through the brand of your company, but also through the personal brand of the CEO and the people at the top of the organization. Because if they haven't built their personal brand, then people can't really get under the bonnet to see, well, what sort of person really is this? Like, everyone speaks the speak, you know, or we're this great organization, but, you know, is it toxic? How do you know? I mean, you go on Seek and you read reviews and everything. But is the, you know, what's really underneath this, and who's running this? And if the people haven't built their personal brand, how are you going to know? You've got to be attracted to something. So there's a story that matches.
That's right.
And so we've got to tell the same story. So if it was me and I was running a company, I would encourage, I would teach my employees about personal branding, and I would actually, you know, get them to, I'd have a whole content strategy. First, you build the values alignment, the vision, the mission, and the values alignment. And once you've done that with the individual, and you've really extracted what makes them passionate about what they do and why they've chosen this company, then you help them with content. And so they can be leveraging, you know, they can be working as a team to order to fulfill the goals of the organization, which if they're not for profits, there's some amazing things that these companies do.
This is where I think it's a very interesting topic now that this is becoming like more of a thing. Like people have obviously known about this forever, but like we were saying before, that you know, things become more commonplace and more heard about. But one of the things I find happens in the let's call it like the intermediary point where it becomes fully, you know, commonplace and yes. not commonplace at all. In that intermediate point where, you know, say companies go, okay, I need, and they know that they, you know, need to consider those things that you've been talking about, but the method by which they go about it of going, okay, our brand is X and we, you know, want to leverage the authentic stories from our employees, you know, over here in Y. But like, you know, as I'm not sure if you have any like case studies or, you know, thing to add to this point, but like the point at which they're maybe too zealous or too, you know, strict, like where's the point where authenticity of like a employee's like actual story meets the strict guidelines of like the company of them going, well, for this to work, like say in somebody's mind, in the employer goes, like their understanding, which may be hypothetically misplaced, is they go, it's got to be like this and you have to talk this particular language, and but it doesn't really work like that, because that is a meeting of those two worlds, right? Of like their real story, you know, not the engineered story, this, but like, here's your story, John Doe, you know, and then they say it, you know, it's the meaning of those two worlds. So as like someone like yourself, like, is there a process that you go through with people to help them bring those two worlds together, if that makes sense?
Yes. Well, I've just started branding, you know, like that's one of the things that I'm passionate to do, is help teams brand themselves. And I've, you know, got one case study from my golf coaches, but they're not really a corporate company. So if I was going to be working with a corporate company, so the thing about branding and personal branding is that it's about leveraging your authenticity. So if it's fake, it's not actually personal branding, because personal branding is about, but you're also strategic, because you're not going to share everything. Like I've got two brands. I've got That's Vision right. Accountable, which is my coaching brand. I've got She Simply Impacts, which is my coaching platform for women, which is affordable personal and professional development. Now, in She Simply Impacts, I tell a different story. I tell a different story about my history. I'm more, you know, authentic about my true, you know, healing journey and what's gone on.
Yeah.
Whereas in Vision Accountable, I don't necessarily tell that story. So we're always strategic around the talk stories we're telling, but they've also always got to be authentic. And that's why it starts with the goals and then your target market, you know, which conversation are we having? Who are we influencing? Which is part of your goals, which forms part of your target market, which then informs what type of stories are relevant. You know, because you're not going to share everything. You can overshare, and that's a turn off.
Yeah, so, that's right. Yeah, you still have to be. Yeah, because it's still at the end of the day, it's still marketing, right? You know, you're still sharing for the purpose, not of just sharing with your mate, because like you want to share. You know, correct. But yeah, that's so.
It's about strategy. So that's why, and the thing with personal branding, it's very hard to do it by yourself if you're a solopreneur or someone, you know, because I used to work with real estate agents. I did a lot of work with them. And, you know, and it's like, well, how do you stand out? Well, you stand out by sharing maybe your favorite charity or your hobbies or what you're passionate about, what you, you know, there's a whole personal component, which is why it's called personal branding, because if it wasn't personal, you wouldn't worry about the personal. You just go straight to your professional credibility. But now professional credibility isn't enough. because we go to these networking events. How many financial planners do we meet? How many real estate agents, buyers agents? How many of these people do we meet? That when I'm selecting someone, it'll be some resonance, something about the story they've shared that aligns with one of my values, which is why I would go to them. And if I don't know anything about that story, then they're just a blank to me, because I'm just the professional credibility is a given.
I think it's an interesting point though too, because I mean, how different, obviously goals and reasons for going to events and meeting people are different, but how different is it to how people would usually want to be around other people in a social setting? I mean, there's like similar ideas there. People don't, you hear something or somewhere or how somebody or a person's sense of humor, they're similar to yours, you like it, they play the same sport as you, they just seem like a nice person. Like there's any number of reasons in a social setting, and now a lot of those things are really the same reasons that, you know, make somebody like even just want to take some next step. It doesn't have to be like, oh, here, like sign here. You know, it's just that next kind of step, right? You know,
it's a series of conversations, and the work that exactly. And the work I do is about translating all this into your digital footprint. Because when you go to a networking event, that's easy because you can see the person in front of you. So you get a feeling, you know, because passion is contagious. Positivity is contagious. You know, you get that emotional connection because you're face to face. But then
it's easy then, isn't it? Like it's actually fairly straightforward there. You can go, oh, yeah. And you can feel it often.
You can feel it and your gut instinct kicks in. But then in your digital footprint, because ultimately, you know, I'm working with people who want to build their audience and translate that into their digital footprint. So how to leverage your authenticity through your digital footprint and what's relevant.
And for people, so I ask these questions more for people who are just a little bit unsure. So like we might know and other people listening might know, yeah, I get what digital footprint is, but like for people who haven't got the big picture, what do you classify as someone's ideal digital footprint, for the average person?
Yep. So I classify that as you put your name into Google and what comes up. Mm. So do you dominate? Does your LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube, website all come up first? Yeah. Because my name, for example, so personal branding is linked to your name generally. So even though I personally don't have a personal brand website myself yet, I've got two business brands that I run. But it's about, do I dominate Google with all my
for your name, for yeah. Site. So that's a yeah. So it's about visibility then, obviously.
If people want me, if they want to find out a bit more about me, is there enough content online? Like, am I in a podcast like this? You've got a podcast. So that's all part of the relationship building stage. Once someone's interested in you, then they'll do a binge of your content. And how much content have you got up online that's strategically aligned with your current goals? Because a lot of people have a digital footprint, but it's very out of date with their current goals.
Yeah, that's right. I feel like a lot of that sort of stuff just comes back to if people have to do a review of that, for example. You know, it's easy when they go, okay, Saul or Angela, you know, can you do a review of like what I'm online and, you know, and tell me, because one, I don't know, or people are like, oh, I don't like computers, or I don't like the internet, or they're just too busy, or like or they just don't want to do it. But that's, you know, on its own, those reasons are enough of a roadblock to be kind of in the way of people's, you know, personal brand kind of being able to change if there's other impediments in the way, which might not seem like a big deal to them, but like you're saying, if there's old content and someone's like hungry for content and they go out there and someone, it doesn't seem like a big deal, but they find other content that is really going to have either like a contradictory effect. It doesn't even have to be super negative or anything. It just has to be like, oh, that doesn't match. It seems incongruous with the other thing, right?
That's why we're building a narrative. See, we're building a narrative,
yep,
a thread, because obviously people pivot, right? So there's nothing wrong with pivoting. I mean, I've pivoted so many times, but there is a thread and there is a narrative, and I know really what it is.
Yeah.
And it's about telling that story so that that travels with you, because your personal brand travels with you throughout your career. And going back to the real estates, like when I started working with real estates, like they, how often does a real estate agent go from Ray White to Place to Harcourts? They jump around. That's very common. So that's why I was encouraging real estates to have your own personal brand website, because that's the thing that stays with you throughout your career, and you can take control over what's published online in relation to you and your name and your story. And so when you tell your story, like people think, oh, LinkedIn is, you know, a personal brand is LinkedIn. And yes, LinkedIn is a big part of your personal brand. But when you tell the story that's current, you'll share the narrative. You'll share how you evolved as a person. You know, like I wanted more fulfillment, outsourcing. You know, I still believe in it and still do it, but I just don't want to do that anymore. I want more fulfillment. I always wanted to be a coach, but I never thought I was good enough. And I always wanted to do marketing, but I never thought I was good enough. This is back, you know, in 2011, when my ex and I split and I started building my own projects.
Mm.
Yeah. So, you know, it's good to have it up to date with your current goals and leverage it.
Yeah. And that, I mean, it kind of in some ways that makes it, if you have some, like you were saying, thread or, you know, that repeating pattern, if you like hone that down, in some ways everything else as it just evolves, like they say, like what will be, and that happens and you end up going down this path, if that makes sense still in terms of that thread or that story, well, it's kind of as that rolls out your life, your career, you know, no one's really for the most part ever going to go, oh, hang on, that doesn't make sense, because it's part of your story. And when people tell a story, I mean, no one, you know, as they're reading a story they've never read before, they don't go, what, hang on a second, like that doesn't, you know, why are they doing that? You know, I mean, sometimes if it's like, you know, in a really badly scripted movie, yeah, you know, but people will go, oh, that's kind of stupid, you know, why did he die, or like whatever, you know, but that's the exception, really, isn't it? Like people are very, I find for the most part, but are probably, so there's people listening to this who are like, oh, that's completely wrong. But I think most people, when they they learn about like your story or they're listening to this, they're very accepting. That's right.
There's no question marks. And that's what we're doing. We're eliminating the question marks. We're eliminating the things that don't make sense, you know, because I also do career coaching. And in career coaching, you know, it's like your career summary. And so it's all the same thing. We're telling a story to influence someone. And I, you know, the career summary is really important, what you say in there and how that maps your career and your passion and why you're going for this and why it makes sense. And if there's things in your resume, you know, that don't stack up, or that you haven't, there's a question marks, people will move on. So you don't want to confuse people. You don't want people to be perplexed. You want to explain the journey. And we're all on a journey. And the journey is exciting.
Yeah, they are. And where does just getting back to different groups and community, where do you find now at this point, you know, fast forwarded from the past to now, which is where we are at, we're in the now, you know, how do you feel that community, that communities that you're a part of, and which I'm a part of, I'm some of those too, and ones that you've created, how do you feel they, like, where do they fit in with your own personal brand? And I guess as a subset to that, how can that fit in for other people too, like using those, you know, groups or with their personal brand? Like, where does those two things, is some obvious sort of answers there, but for you personally, I guess, like, how does like you being Angela De Palma, you know, fit into different sorts of groups? Because you were saying before, like, some you shared different things, and yes, then so there's a different subset of your brand here,
yeah,
and there, but overall, like, you know, you feel very comfortable and in like a happy place at the moment, Angela?
Definitely. Like, I, you know, like, I've got two brands. So I'm one of these people that have two main projects on the go, and I market both, you know, like, I go to networking, and part of my bio is introducing both of the projects that I'm really passionate about. I mean, I'm passionate about helping people learn about themselves and translate their, you know, passion for the work they do into their digital footprint and into, you know, achieving their goals. Mm. And I'm passionate about serving women and creating, you know, community through my coaching platform. So I feel that it's like coming, everything's coming full circle for me now.
That's a nice feeling, and, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And a few years ago, I launched myself as a poet. Because I've also, I'm.
Did you really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, and that's part of my brand, oh, wow, as well. And I've got a book called A Poetry Collection of Healing Words. Actually, oh, the title. I keep the lady who helped me with the keywords. She came up with the title, so I always forget the own title of my book. But it's on Amazon, and yeah, so that was a big part of my healing journey. And so that sort of sits in the middle.
Oh, that's really cool.
The, you know, I'm a writer. I love, really, I'm a writer, you know, and that's why I help people with messaging and content and their stories and,
yeah,
that, you know.
I was just going to say, like, I actually relate very, I'm sort of strongly to that too in many ways, because I, like, my wife and my origins, I guess, are really just as sort of artists, because I didn't, like, I certainly, and maybe her to a lesser extent early on, I really had no idea what I was, I had no real focus. After the Queensland College of Art, we studied illustration, and at that point, not like now where it's much more job focused, it was like, yeah, but like still the best thing of, you know, almost, you know, sort of ever did in terms of learning, because the people that we had and the way we did it. But I was just like, be an artist, you know, and had some, like, for at the time had some success in like, you know, visual arts, but then it was like, oh, maybe I should be more responsible and become like an art teacher, because that sounds like a normal thing to do. That did that, and then decided straight away that didn't want to do that, which was a good thing. And then, but that's been all part of the journey of going, oh, I think I should. Then I'll do it. Then I realized I don't want to do it, which is kind of as important as not doing it at all, because then at least you know.
That's right. That is absolutely right.
But at the heart of it, I guess the key takeaway that still is very much a part of us is that even though we do, you know, have always, similar to you, you know, I guess at very early adopters of technology, and that hasn't changed, is that there's always been this blend of sort of creativity and art at the heart of things and sort of stories. And that's always, and I could see, like, when you were talking, even before you said, I was like, aha, there you go. There's the, that's the sort of a common thread, is that you like stories, you like telling people's stories, you like hearing people's stories. So therefore, it actually makes a lot of sense that then, you know, then, and then you want to help people. So when those two, those, you know, things kind of come together in with creative thinking, that's like a natural fit, really.
And solutions. Yeah, because I'm very practical.
And solutions, yeah. And then to go, okay, what's the like the actual thing we're going to do?
Yes.
Instead of just like, how are we going to feel about it? You know, I mean, that's still, that's then important too. Like it's like, that's probably, I've often analyzed, and when I was a kid, like in primary school and not really even in high school, in primary school of all things, I was like, when, you know, people would go, what do you want to be when you grow up, Saul Edmonds? And I'd be like, I want to be an industrial designer. And they're like, oh, what a weird kid, you know, but like I then never did all the subjects at school to let me do that. But I've always still things I've done have manifested themselves in similar ways. It's that meeting of form and function that yes. I really love, like things that yes. work well,
yes.
that look beautiful.
Yes.
And those where those two things, and then there's creativity and sort of some wildness to things, but then you can hone them back in. You can like bring them or sort of you know, rein them in again where those things meet. I really love that meeting of those
That's two right. things. I totally get what you're saying. And for me, it's entrepreneurship. See, I love the meeting, all of that with the entrepreneurship.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, with freedom and helping people. Because the thing, when I launched myself on my digital footprint as a poet, and I was a bit, you know, nervous and everything, I picked up a client straight away, a business coaching client.
How funny.
Yeah, he signed up for my coaching. So it's like the more authentic we can be, and not only do we feel great, but everyone feels great because we're a whole person, you know. And so, I just love personal branding. I love the whole journey. I love helping people with self-discovery and then turning it into something really practical, which is marketing collateral. And then translating that into your digital footprint. So it's very strategic.
Yeah, I think you've actually explained, like, you know, and like I said at the start, it's always really fun for me to, especially when I already know people, to go, oh, wow, I didn't think, like sometimes you just assume that you couldn't know more like, for whatever reason. You don't really think it through. You just go, oh, yeah, talk to Angela. And then you have like the, a really interesting long form conversation where you dive into things. So hopefully then for people listening too, they get like a really good you know, flavor of like, you know, you like your personal brand too, I guess. And like we're saying, this is part of your digital footprint, obviously. Now it is anyway. And but like as we're, I guess, nearing the end of the conversation, have you got any other specific point that you don't feel we've quite covered? And then two, you can tell us quote as well.
Yes.
When you're ready.
Yes. There are a few examples that I thought of as we were speaking that I wanted to, you know, practical applications, but now I didn't write them down. So but yeah, there's a lot, it's very, I think we've mainly covered everything, I think, of what really essentially we're doing in this journey, and that it is very hard to build it by yourself because we have blind spots. And, you know, in Australia, we have the tall poppy syndrome. And so it is really handy to get feedback. And, you know, when you're actually going to document all those important assets, like your vision, your mission and your values and your unique promise of value and what sets you apart and things like that. So I encourage people to work with someone, whether it's a friend or a coach. You know, I really encourage you to work collaboratively, and it's very empowering. But I do have a quote, and I had two, which I was going to share. But the one after this conversation, the quote I'm sharing is the one by Shakespeare, which is "All that glitters is not gold." And so because we missed, what we do is we and we might be very wrong because that person isn't glittering and they're not dressed in gold. Mm. That, you know, we dismiss. And so what we're doing with personal branding is our best chance of being seen in our true gold.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. I think that probably for me, listening to that too, it's a little bit about like the wonderful things people often miss in the detail because they don't, they you know, for whatever reason, they don't take the time to, or the person's not sharing it, or for whatever. But those little details, I often, you know, might sound like oversimplifying some people, but I find like, you know, really the most sort of interesting things, like the things that really stand out for me in life generally, are the little details in things. And that's in talking to people, it's in their stories, and it's often in visual design too. It's like the little things. It's like the little details you put in are the really special things that stand out that people notice. And I think it's a complete, you know, I mean, not everyone does, but most people do. They go, wow, look at that. Oh, wow. Like, that's really interesting. And people are naturally like really curious, I think, for the most part.
Yeah, exactly. And that applies to the details of your story. Like, I didn't know that you were tried teaching and that you went to art college and that essentially, you know, I didn't know all that about you. And so it is, it's really cool.
Yeah, it is. And so thank you, Angela. That was a really super interesting conversation, and I will be sharing around for people to listen to. And it's great to have you on. And I think like the personal, your own personal branding journey is a really interesting one, and sort of it's a bit, you know, postmodern in a way, because you're talking about it, and then by the fact that you're talking about it, you're talking about your journey, you know. Yes. which is really funny and I mean interesting. So thanks again, and thank you everyone for listening once again to the Grow Business Podcast, and say goodbye, Angela. Say goodbye to everyone.
Thank you so much for having me, Saul. It's been really fun, and take care, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. See you later.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Grow Your Business. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time here at the Grow Your Business Podcast.